This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Well, farmers in the Roseau, Minnesota area wrapping up harvest and fall fertilizer applications. Tony Brodding had a good harvest.
We finished up with the beans here probably about a week ago. Harvest went pretty nice. We had kind of frost close to our normal frost date, which helped mature the beans up and dry everything down real nicely, and had a pretty good harvest window to get them off. The yields were pretty good. You never really know what you're going to get with late plantings like we had this year, but we were very happy with how things turned out.
And Brodding is wrapping up fall field work.
We got a little bit of fall fertilizer left to put on here in the next couple days and then start cleaning up all the equipment. But I think there's been a pretty good jag of fertilizer put on up in this area. The floaters have been going pretty steady here for about a month. I think guys are sitting really well going into next year as far as field conditions and having some of the work, the spring work done already. We should be sitting in a pretty good spot.
CHS Ag Services sales agronomist Kyle Schaefer says the end of harvest is in sight for the Crookston, Minnesota area.
Yeah, harvest is going well. We're still working on some corn harvest, but that is going along just fine. The dry conditions out there, corn is coming off real well. Yields are average for a lot of the area, maybe even above average, but everybody's pretty satisfied with what they're getting, considering mostly dry conditions. And the corn seems to be coming off in good quality, good test weight, pretty dry for the most part, and guys are pretty satisfied with what they're getting, considering the late planting and the dry conditions.
Schaefer says both long and short day varieties of corn have been yielding good results.
With the play the planting was, we were all kind of concerned about the shortening our maturities because our planting dates were getting pushed back. But the guys that did stick with their plan, I think the later day maturing stuff is performing fine and better than expected since the late planting. But also the earlier day stuff, the 80 day to 85, is surprisingly doing pretty well as well, I guess.
And that's Harvest Hotline, presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, Pivot Bio, and the North Dakota Mill.
Nutrien Ag Solutions senior meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says there's cooler temperatures in the forecast this week.
You've really got kind of a weekend divided in half, depending on where you live. You know, if you're in the Central Plains or the Corn Belt, you got a pretty mild and quiet week, but then you've got maybe an unsettled and stormy weekend upcoming. But then folks across the Pacific Northwest, a little bit farther north into the Northern High Plains, Canadian Prairies, will be feeling a little bit more like winter here through maybe mid to late week.
And Pritchard says there's a very low chance for snow this weekend.
Well, there's a chance this weekend. Again, I mentioned some of the chances for snow across the Canadian Prairie. They're expecting a rather narrow but intense band of accumulating snow, maybe half a foot, upwards of a foot of snow in some parts of Alberta and Saskatchewan. As you talk about a little bit further south across the Northern High Plains, when we see this area of low pressure eject over the weekend, you know, confidence is low in the exact locations. We'll see some of these flurries, but right now I would bet against a big area of accumulating snow lifting through the Dakotas, the upper Midwest here over the weekend, but not out of the question across parts of North Dakota, not out of the question across northern Minnesota.
The two-week weather outlook for South America is mostly favorable, with a good mix of rain and sunshine for Brazil and Paraguay, allowing for good winter wheat harvest as well as planting and crop development. World Weather Incorporated says Argentina will see a drier weather pattern return over the next 2 weeks, allowing for rapid planting progress after recent rains. Another round of rain is expected the second week of November, preventing soils from becoming too dry. Frost and freezing temperatures are expected again tomorrow morning, possibly impacting some of that winter wheat crop.
South Dakota State University Extension Soils Field Specialist Anthony Bly said soil conditions are unexpectedly dry after the wet start to the year.
Well, you know, we had quite a variable year from wet to dry areas in the state. I've never seen it that extreme difference before. Of course, those wet areas, the yields were good. But now that we've gone into the fall and we're almost, you know, to that winter time, by and large, I think most of the soils across the state I would consider dry to very dry. I was out sampling the last couple days, and in the areas that did get good precipitation throughout the season, their subsoils have some water in them, but they're dry. I mean, we could use a good drink of water, I think, almost everywhere in South Dakota right now.
Cover crops and winter wheat emergence has been slow. Bly has low expectations for those crops.
Yeah, that was really slow to emerge. Cover crops, at least in the fields that I've seen, have done, you know, much less than last year in performance-wise and size and growth. They did emerge. I did hear some reports of really poor emergence on them. But, you know, it's the extreme variability that we have, this dry to more average to more wetter areas in our state. And so that's why we have this very variable response. And, yes, the wheat is the same way. Those areas that did get a half inch of rain, that wheat's looking pretty good. But other areas, it's struggling to come up.
The Potato Leadership Education and Advancement Foundation has announced the latest class of Potato Industry Leadership Institute. There are two members of the class from the region, Nick DeSottle of Grafton and Cole Schulich of Crete, North Dakota. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Well, in response to a weekend drone attack at a major Crimean port, Russia suspended its participation in the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Russia claims the Ukrainian military used the cover of the humanitarian grain corridor to launch attacks, making it impossible to guarantee safety for its ships. President Biden criticizing the decision, saying Russia's withdrawal from the deal will increase starvation worldwide. United Nations speaking with Russian leaders to try and save that grain deal and prevent a major food insecurity crisis.
Loewen & Associates market analyst Matt Hines says Russia-Ukraine news is dominating the grain markets today, with the wheat market sharply higher.
Yeah, that's pretty much the big push here this morning, over the weekend, with Russia trying to blame Ukraine for a drone strike in Crimea and Ukraine blaming Russia, and in the end, Russia pulling out of the deal. I know as of Sunday, there were over 200 vessels, blocked in Ukraine, some loaded, some waiting to get in, some still sitting at port. But then this morning, we hear that there are about a dozen or so that actually left Ukraine ports. So didn't really have much of an impact on the grains, and we still, were sharply higher and led by the wheat market.
The livestock market is dipping lower with the higher grains.
We're off, over a dollar. Had a couple contracts even touched $2 lower. Going to be hard for feeders to, make any ground with the grains higher, that's for sure. Good to see, good fundamental supportive news over the past couple weeks. The latest cattle on feed report, higher cash-fed cattle trade again last week. In the south, we got up to 150 live, and up in the north, trading in that 152 to 155 range, so still added another couple bucks from the week previous.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burks says the Russia-Ukraine market really is the major news here today.
That is the news. Where you saw over the weekend confirmation of just more hostility. I think the news was that Russia's trying to find a way to exit the agreement that they have made with Ukraine through Turkey, and I think this weekend, there's just another example of trying to look like the good guy and trying to figure out how to exit that situation that they've gotten themselves in with the agreement to allow grain to leave the corridor.
AccuWeather is estimating the delays in barge traffic on the Mississippi River is costing U.S. agriculture $20 billion in losses Today is the first notice day for November soybean futures, and the Prices Futures Group says the backlog in grain and soybean shipments could encourage deliveries against the November soybean futures contracts.
U.S. Energy Administration's recent update put inventories of diesel and heating oil at just 106 million barrels, well below the five-year average. Steiner Consulting Chief Economist Alton Kalo says freight costs will likely remain elevated through the winter.
Well, live cattle this morning have been pretty flat. We're down about 50 cents.
It all goes around on a truck. And so as that freight cost certainly adds to the final cost of the product and ultimately what the consumer pays. And so what we've seen is that we've seen a little bit of a slowdown in cost increases, but that's very different from a reduction in cost. And so while prices are increasing at a slow rate, they're still higher than they were a year ago, and they're far higher than they were before the start of the pandemic.
And Kalo says seasonally, diesel and oil are the lowest he's seen at 40 years.
The diesel inventories are far lower than what you'd normally see, but they're also some of the lowest that we've seen in the last 40 years. And if you were to look at it from a seasonal perspective, so if you were to look at the inventories for the month of October, they're the lowest that they've in 40 years. These really high prices that we had over the summer months limited the ability to accumulate inventories, and now we're going into the winter months hoping that it's not going to be a cold winter, because otherwise we're just going to have a challenge filling the demand, not just from industry, but especially for heating oil that's needed during those cold months.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Students from Illinois, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Virginia were elected to serve as members of the National FFA Officer Team. Jessica Herr of Pennsylvania is the National Secretary.
So for me, FFA was a place that I found my home. It was encouraging and it was humbling and exciting to be a part of this organization way bigger than myself when I put on this blue jacket. I felt like I belonged. Every time I went to an FFA event, it gave me the same feeling as someone pulling up a chair and inviting me to sit down next to them, which ultimately led me want to give that same feeling and that same experience to students all across the nation.
Her outlines her goal as a national officer.
My first priority this year, hands down, every single day that I zip up this blue jacket, is making students feel like they belong and making students feel like they have a seat at the table that is the National FFA organization. And that can be done at a large scale, like at conventions like this, getting students excited that they get to take part in being one of the 850,000 students wearing a blue jacket. But it's also in those little moments when we're doing a chapter visit or interacting with a student on social media, making them feel seen and known and heard is going to be my first priority this year.
The National FFA Convention came close to breaking an attendance record this year with well over 60,000 FFA members and guests in Indianapolis.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. December wheat in Minneapolis, 37 and a half higher right now, 982 and a half. Chicago December wheat's 55 and a quarter higher at 884 and a half. And Kansas City December wheat, 54 and three quarters, now 55 and a quarter higher at 980 and a quarter. December corn's up 12 cents, 692 and three quarters. March corn's up 11, 697 and three quarters. November soybeans, 19 cents higher, 1406 and three quarters. March beans, 17 and three quarters cents higher at 1426 and three quarters. In Winnipeg, November canola, $19.30 a metric ton higher, 928.40 Canadian. December live cattle down 67 cents, 152.32. November feeder cattle down 40 cents at 177.47. December lean hogs down 82 cents at 85.27. Well, thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.